To the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of C.C. Guru and Gauranga. Om Jnana Timaranda Syajanan Jana Shilakaya Chaksuhun Militam Nina Tasmai Sri Guru Venamaha. Mukam karoti vacharam phangum lam jayate girin yakripata maham bande sri gurum dinatarinam. Mancha kalpa tarubhyas cha kripa sindhu vaheva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namaha. Jaya sri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityanam sri adhaita kadadhar shivasi gaur bhakta vanda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. First order of business. Who's got a cell phone? Turn it off. I've already heard two go off this morning. So if you get your cell phone, reach in your pocket and just quietly turn it off and everybody will be happy. Thank you very much. Nariyogo Druma Nityananda Mahajan Patiyache Namhata Jivera Karan Shadhavan Janhe Shadhavan Janhe Prabhu Anjay Bhai Magaye Bhiksha Bolo Krishna Bhaja Krishna Koro Krishna Shiksha. Aparara Sunya Hai Lohe Krishna Nam. Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Dana Pran. Krishna Rara Samsara Kori Chari Amchar. Jiver Dori Krishna Nam Sarva Dharmasar. In the land of Nadia, on the island of Godruma, the magnanimous Lord Nityananda has opened up the marketplace of the holy name meant for the deliverance of all the fallen souls. Oh, people of faith. Oh, people of faith, by the order of Lord Gauranga, oh brothers, I beg these three requests of you. Chant Krishna, worship Krishna, and teach others about Krishna. Being careful to remain free of offenses, just take the holy name of Lord Krishna. Krishna is your mother. Krishna is your father. Krishna is the treasure of your life. Giving up all sinful activities, carry on your worldly duties only in relation to Lord Krishna. The showing of compassion to other souls by loudly chanting the holy name of Krishna is the essence of all forms of religion. There's a story that we all know of a certain sparrow standing on the edge of the ocean and challenging that ocean, I am going to drain you. So I kind of feel like that sparrow standing before the unlimited ocean, sitting before the unlimited ocean of the pastimes of Lord Nityananda. How is it even possible in the course of an hour, a day, a week, a lifetime to speak about these pastimes? We've all been devotees for numerous years now, and every year we gather and we speak more and more about Nityananda, and at the end we think, oh, we should have spoken more. Oh, we should have heard more. Oh, I should embrace within my heart more. And these are the unlimited pastimes of Lord Nityananda that are available to us. So I will, with the blessings of all the Vaishnavas, try to approach that ocean and dip my little toe in there and hope that I get a little bit wet. I've mentioned many times before how I was blessed to be raised in Krishna consciousness in a temple where the understanding and importance of Lord Nityananda was paramount. It was our life and soul. And this type of training, this type of example and thinking, it shaped my devotional life in such a way to understand that Krishna consciousness is not just about doing something. It's not just about understanding and believing something, but it's about realizing the connection that those three things have actually to your heart and to your lifestyle as a devotee. So I was fortunate in this way, and this is the type of experience that we can hope to imbibe from hearing about the pastimes of Lord Nityananda. Many of us have a particular form of the Lord that has a connection with us that we feel close to, that was there. I know there's one devotee that always talks about Radha Gopi Balava, and then, you know, there's devotees that to get them to speak about anything other than Radha Govinda is just impossible. Of course, there's a room full of Vaishnavas right here that you had be better be very prepared to hear endless glories of Radha Shyam Sundar. So we all have these particular personalities. But for myself, the pastimes of Lord Nityananda hold a very special place. So I feel very much humbled and honored to be able to speak about him today. Vrindavan Das Thakur writes a wonderful book and a very wonderful collection of pastimes in the form of eight very nice prayers. And I'd like to recite those prayers, and a little more than just recite them, kind of examine them. These are from the Nityananda Astakam, and they are in the book, the Nityananda Charitamrita. Sri Nityananda Prabhu's face is more beautiful and cooling than the autumn moon. The effulgence coming from his body is supremely beautiful. We all know that the autumn moon is desirable because it comes just after the very long, hot summer. We can appreciate that here in New Ramanreti. The summers are very, very hot, very, very unpleasant, very uncomfortable. But in the autumn time, when the full moon is there and the breeze is a little bit and the heat has died down, it's so, so pleasing. Nartam Das Thakur goes a step further and describes that moon in Nityananda, Koti Chandra. Millions upon millions of moons, the effect of that. We know the effect of the Dadasa Chandra, the 12 suns that appeared when Krishna finished chastising the Kaliya serpent. But imagine the cooling effect. That was the warming effect. But imagine the cooling effect of millions of moons. So that beautiful time of year when the moon comes out like that, this is the comparison given to the beauty of the face of Lord Nityananda and the effulgence that comes from him. He always moves like a mad elephant since he is always intoxicated with Krishna Prema, love of God. He is always mad after Krishna Prema. His body is completely pure spiritual energy. We have the example given to us by our acharyas of the mad elephant offense. When an elephant becomes a bit intoxicated during the time of year that they mate, and from eating certain types of fruits and vegetables, they become very wild and uncontrolled. And they may go through a village or a garden or area and cause great havoc. And the way that they move is actually very nice to look at, even though it's destructive, the gait and the movement of their body. So this is the comparison to the movement of Lord Nityananda. He's like a mad elephant. And what is that mad elephant doing? He's uprooting all the gardens of impure desires that are there within our heart. He's going through and destroying all of that. He is always smiling. His eyes are very fickle, moving to and fro. The nature of the goddess of fortune is described as chanchala, coming here and there, going here and there, never staying in one place. So the eyes of Nityananda, they're never staying in one place. Now one might think, oh, but when I come before the deities, I want to just look with focused vision. Nityananda's vision is actually focused, but it's not steady. It's fickle. He's looking here and there, always, where are the conditioned souls? Who can I bring to the lotus feet of Gauranga? So this is the nature of his eyes like that. And he always holds in his lotus hand a glowing staff. We'll have a little bit more about the staff later. Yes, that is Nityananda, who by the beating of the staff destroys all of our reactions to the Kali Yuga. We should therefore take shelter of Nityananda and cry for the mercy of Nityananda. He is the root of the tree, devotional service, and I worship him. Sri Nityananda Prabhu, text 2, Sri Nityananda Prabhu is the reservoir of all transcendental mellows. If we look at the pastimes of Nitai, there is nothing lacking in any of his relationships with his unlimited devotees. All the different types of activities, all the different types of spiritual exchanges are found in his relationships. Nobody can compare to him in all the three planetary systems. He is very dear to one and all. In the Bhagavad Gita, we have the verse, Abrahma Bhuvanaloka. If you go from the highest to the lowest planets in this material world, right? So similarly, in all the three planetary systems, there is not anyone who is as satisfying and pleasing as Lord Nityananda. Beyond compare. He is the beloved husband of Vasudha and Janava. He is always in an ecstatic mood of love, always maddened and intoxicated with the mellow of love, Krishna Prema. The Hari Puja was reading how sometimes he would drink so-called wine and become intoxicated, but that intoxication had no effect because Nityananda's level of love of God was so intoxicating that everything else was insignificant in comparison. He is unknown to the crooked and evil-minded persons. Those personalities who their life is filled with bad habits, whose their life is filled with unjust activities, they do not know Nityananda. But this is the amazing thing about Nityananda. He wants to make sure they do know him. We'll know a little more about that later also. I worship that word, Nityananda. Nityananda is very dear to Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He always does good for the entire universe. He is always supremely blissful. He is the embodiment of supreme happiness and blissfulness. He comes to the material world in this Kali Yuga to deliver the sinful persons. This is those persons in the previous note here that are crooked and evil-minded that don't know who he is, but he comes to deliver them. We know the types of persons he delivers, the Jagai and Madais, the personalities like ourselves. He constantly does Maha Sankirtan, destroying the pride of the dreadful ocean of material existence. The presence of an ocean is very prominent, and everyone's very desirous to go to the ocean. Want to go to sit on the beach, or to some people want to take their boats out into the ocean, and some people want to surf into the ocean. Everyone wants to be in the ocean. But this ocean, material existence, it's not something that we should be desirous of. Nityananda destroys the presence of that ocean by his very existence and by the performance of the Nam Sankirtan. I worship that Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda tells Gauranga Mahaprabhu, "Oh my brother, what will happen to the most distressed and fallen jivas in this Kali Yuga? What will happen to them unless you shower your mercy on them? Please show them a way for their deliverance so that they can approach you and get your lotus feet." He always talks like this with Mahaprabhu. And what is that way that he expects to be shown, to have Mahaprabhu show? It is through the mercy of Nityananda. Because what is Nityananda's duty, Nityananda's responsibility? His very life is to bring all the conditioned jivas to the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. This is what he does. I worship that Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda goes to every doorstep and requests everyone with folded hands. "Oh, my dear brothers, all of you, engage yourselves in chanting of the Harinam. If you do this and follow my instructions, I promise you that you will very easily cross over this dreadful ocean of material existence." So a very simple thing Nityananda does there. We're all trying to relieve ourselves of difficulties. You ask anyone, "How are you today?" "Oh, I'm okay. I'm trying to be better." "Oh, it could be all right." Nobody wants to suffer. "Oh, I'm really miserable and I'm enjoying the heck out of it." Nobody says like that. Everybody's trying to cross over all these difficulties, as it says here, the dreadful ocean. But how do they do that? Nityananda says, if you just chant Harinam, if you do this and follow the instructions I give, and what are those instructions? Worship Krishna, chant Krishna, make Krishna your life and soul. He says, if you just do that, I promise you, I will deliver you across that ocean. It's a very simple promise, very simple request, very simple activity, but so few are doing it. I worship that Lord Nityananda. Like Agastya Muni, who by drinking a handful of water made all the oceans dry up, he forcibly swallows the ocean of repeated birth and death. Agastya Muni was approached once. The demons and the demigods were in their eternal fighting. And the demigods had the upper hand, so what the demons did was took shelter under the ocean. The demigods couldn't get to them. So they approached Agastya Muni, "Please, you're a great mystic sage. We need to be able to complete this battle." So Agastya Muni took one handful of the ocean, and by drinking that handful, dried up the entire ocean. The ocean was gone, all the demons were exposed, and the demigods were able to conquer over them. So like that Agastya Muni, Lord Nityananda takes and dries up that ocean of material suffering. We're all floundering back and forth in the waves, being thrown this way and that, sometimes being drowned, sometimes coming up for air. It's a miserable condition. But by his own effort, he removes that. He dries up that entire ocean of birth and death, swallows it by the mercy of his Sankirtan movement, and thus gives great blessings to all of us jivas who are now exposed, not being able to hide or being covered by the water anymore, and are thus completely able to receive the mercy of Lord Nityananda, nothing standing in our way. He arose like a moon to swell up the ocean of mercy for the welfare of all jivas. He very easily destroys the sinful reactions of the most degraded persons. Regarding Jagai and Madhai, it's mentioned that Chitragupta, the scribe of Yamaraj, he addressed Yamaraj. He said that if myself and 1,000 of my assistants for eternity took pen in hand, we could not write down all the sinful activities that Jagai and Madhai have committed. But what happened to Jagai and Madhai? They were delivered by Nityananda. So similarly, we have so many sinful activities in our past. We have so many reactions that are following us around, haunting us like ghosts. But by taking shelter of Lord Nityananda, all of those reactions can be destroyed. All of those sinful activities can be diminished as if they never even happened. He is very dear to the devotees. Who does not like to talk about the pastimes of Nityananda? Who is that person who is so unfortunate? He is always busy doing good for the devotees. We're busy doing so many things, but what is Nityananda busy doing? He is busy doing things that will benefit us, that will give us great pleasure, that will give us great benefit. He is like the sun that dispels the darkness of the ignorant fools which descend by their sinful activities. Here again, we are here not by our own desire. We are here because we are bound up by so many different types of karmic reactions to so many sinful activities in so many past births. It's hopeless. Tied up in knots that we can never in a million years, if we were Houdini, get out of. Now, that would be something. See Houdini get out of the knots of birth and death. I don't think he could do that. Matter of fact, he wasn't successful. How will we describe personalities like us that are in that condition? As ignorant fools. Why ignorant fools? Because we've embraced this. We've had chances life after life to give it up. We've had the opportunity to approach devotional service, but we've chosen not to. Due to our ahankar, due to our forgetfulness of Lord Nityananda, we've thought, oh, I am this body. I am this intelligence. I am this mind. And therefore we're suffering. We are ignorant fools. And an ignorant fool means what? Means we're in darkness. But Nityananda is like the sun that comes and dispels that darkness. It becomes very bright and everything is very clear. And when everything is very clear, we think, oh, well, this is a simple choice. I'll just take shelter of Lord Nityananda. I worship that Lord Nityananda. He is always dancing and chanting, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, uttering the name of Hari. He always engages in Harinam Sankirtan. He always wanders on the streets of every city, town, and village. It doesn't say one or two. A couple around where he grew up. All right, a handful in Navadvip. Every city, town, and village. And as his agents, it is our duty to make sure that it is every city, town, and village. Casting his merciful glance over his dear devotees. I worship that Lord Nityananda. He moves with Gauranga Mahaprabhu holding his soft lotus-like palm. He always looks at the moon-like beautiful face of Gaurachandra and becomes ecstatic and blissful seeing that face. And Gauranga Mahaprabhu also looks at the moon-like face of Nitai and becomes ecstatic and blissful seeing that face. In this way, the two of them are completely filled with blissfulness. He always makes all the inhabitants of the towns and cities wherever he goes mad with the intoxication of his beauty. Now we can become mad with the intoxication of his harinam. We can also become mad with the intoxication of his beauty. I worship that Lord Nityananda. Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur says, whoever recites or hears with firm faith, there's your qualifying factor. Whoever recites or hears with firm faith. Does anyone have firm faith? Who has firm faith in Nityananda? The rest of you are comfortable to live here forever? Who has firm faith in Nityananda? Let me see your hands. Yes, yes. Whoever recites or hears with firm faith this Sri Nityananda Ashtakam will have the lotus feet of Sri Nityananda Prabhu soon revealed to him or her. These eight verses are the essence of Bhakti Ras. They are the life and soul of all devotees and the reservoir of all mellows. The life and soul of all devotees. We consider ourselves devotees. That means that these verses, written by Vrindavan Das Thakur, glorifying Lord Nityananda, should be very familiar to us. Oh, I never heard that before. You've been a devotee how long? These should be something we're very familiar with. Lord Nityananda is the essence of the universe, of the three planetary systems. And by his remembrance, the sinful reactions of all sinful persons are destroyed. So this is the benefit, the benediction that's given at the end of these verses by Vrindavan Das Thakur. With some firm faith, we hear these, we recite these, all of the sinful reactions will be destroyed, and we can make them our life and soul. So we're trained in Krishna consciousness to always remember Lord Nityananda. And we're trained that when we approach a divine spiritual personality, just like when we take the darshan of the deities, we start at the feet. We look at their lotus feet, we meditate. Oh, Shamsa just got that nice, nice decoration around his feet there. Oh, look at those nice ankle bells. See that bumblebee right there that someone put right next to his feet? Sometimes there's a little rabbit right there next to Krishna Balaram's feet. Oh, and we meditate like that on the lotus feet because that gives the foundation to now progress further. Now look at the knees. Oh, the waist. Oh, the chest. Oh, the, by the time we get to the face, we're qualified in that sense to be able to appreciate the beauty of the Lord. So let us revisit a little bit the lotus feet of Nityananda. This is not anything new to us. We've heard about the lotus feet of Nityananda many times. Nityananda's lotus feet, as are Gauranga's lotus feet, covered with different symbols. And there's 20 specific ones, which we'll touch on here, and what the importance of these symbols are in our devotional life. This is the thing. We can just academically hear endless stories and pastimes and philosophy. Okay, great, I went to class, I heard it. Okay, what's next? Okay, I did the Abhishek. Okay, what's next? And just move about our life. Dry and unfulfilled. Or we could try and understand, what is the connection to what I'm hearing to my life? What is the connection to my devotional process? What is the connection of these items on the Inanda's feet to my devotional serve? And how can I feel some connection? So these are given for us to be able to think like that. The first thing we see on Nityananda's lotus feet is a conch shell. Now, this auspicious mark indicates that those that take shelter of Lord Nityananda are always rescued from all sorts of distress. Just like during an RT ceremony, there's a conch shell of water. So similarly, Nityananda's feet hold the water, the transcendental water, that can soothe the blazing fire of material existence in the heart of a devotee. How do you put out a fire? What do? You call the fireman. They come with the hose, they pour the water, everything goes down. Boom. Our heart is on fire with material desires. So how does it get put out? By the water that's in the conch shell that's on the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. So we can think like that. Flag. This mark announces that for all devotees meditating on his lotus feet, those feet will give security and safe protection from all sorts of fear. If you're out on some, you know, out in the forest or out in the desert, and you're trying to find some place, you're struggling to get through, and you see off of, oh, wait, there's a building. Oh, there's the flag of the village. There's the flag of the temple. There's the flag of that king or whatever. You feel, oh, now I've got some shelter. I can get rid of this and get protection. Similarly, on the bottom of Nityananda's feet is a flag, and we should know that that flag represents our shelter. Security and protection from the material influence. That's what this flag gives us. A fish. This mark shows that just as a fish cannot live without water, Similarly, the surrendered devotee cannot live for a moment without the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. If you take a fish out of water, we all know that classic example, soon it's dead. Struggles, difficult. Life becomes miserable and hard. But when that fish is in the water, oh, everything is very nice. So if we take shelter of this fish on the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, we become very satisfied. This is the protection that we get, being securely where we belong. It also means that just as the mind is very fickle, like a fish, the fish is always, right? The fish doesn't go in a straight line. The tail's always going like that. That's the way it propels itself. So just as the fish is very fickle like that, just like the mind, one who meditates on the lotus feet of the Lord, they can become fixed and no longer be fickle in their thinking. We desire to. We want to remember the Lord. We want to be happy in our Krishna consciousness. But the mind is so fickle. So if we remember the fish on the lotus feet, we can become steady like that. Lotus. The lotus flower indicates a greed for nectar in the minds of the bee-like devotees who meditate on Nitai's lotus feet. The bee-like devotees. What do bees go for? They go for the lotus flower. They go for the nectar. They go for the honey, for the sweetness. So this lotus flower is the mark. It's where the mind of the devotees, where we want to take it. The lotus flower also signifies that just as a lotus grows in the water, similarly, those whose eyes swell with tears upon seeing the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda will receive the greatest benefit. Then we have a bow. The bow reveals that those who take shelter of Nitai's feet will perpetually be free from all worries and difficulties. Lord Ramchandra carried a bow, and with that bow, he vanquished all obstacles to his reign. So when we take shelter of the bow on the lotus feet of Nityananda's, we can know that we're going to be given shelter, that we will be able to overcome all the difficulties and obstacles, perpetually free from worries. Not free for an hour, not free for an afternoon, perpetually free from all worries. The goad, this indicates that by meditating on Nityananda's feet, the devotee brings the elephant of their mind under control and keeps it on the right path. We spoke a little earlier about the effect of the mad elephant, how the elephant goes so many places, causes so much difficulty. The mind is like that elephant, but the way you control an elephant is with that goad, with a little stick like that. Anakosh mudra, like this. You got the goad that pulls. So that's how you control. So by meditating on that goad on Nityananda's feet, it controls the elephant-like mind of the devotee on the right path, keeps it going. It also indicates that just like a king rides on an elephant, that means he's above others. We can ride on that elephant controlled by that goat and be above the influence of material energy. An altar. This proclaims that the sins of those who meditate upon the lotus feet of the Lord are burned up as in the altar of sacrifice. Later this evening, we're going to have an Agnihotra, reciting the names of Nityananda, throwing grains into the fire and burning up those grains. By remembering that altar on the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, we can burn up all the activities of our sinful past. A half moon. This symbolizes how his feet are truly the desired object of a devotee. Just like Lord Shiva wears the half moon upon his head, they come from the soles of the lotus feet of Nityananda. So the devotees likewise decorate their own head with the feet of Lord Nityananda's moon. A pitcher. This pitcher shows that Nityananda's feet hold the golden nectar of ambrosia that freely is consumed by the surrendered souls. Indeed, they are never bereft of the nectar that is in this pitcher, for it always remains full. This is the amazing thing. The nectar of devotional service, that well of devotional service, never runs dry. Right? You have a cup of something, you drink, and oh, it's finished. Is there any more of this? Can I get some more sweet rice? Call you a pony? Where's the nectar? Takes it around every Sunday feast. Oh, I know you're all empty. Serves all the devotees like that. You think, wow, the nectar never runs out. Call you a pony. He's always right there with that pitcher. Well, that's because Kalyapani is remembering the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda and that pitcher on Lord Nityananda's feet. He's always got a pitcher full of nectar for all the devotees. The discus. This mark cuts down the six enemies of a devotee. Now, this is where our ears should perk up. I'm a devotee. I have six enemies. Yes, we have six enemies. And who are those six enemies? Lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, and bewilderment. These are the six enemies that plague a devotee. They are constantly trying to overtake a devotee, constantly trying to influence a devotee by remembering the disc, the chakra, on the bottom of Lord Nityananda's feet. These six enemies will be brought under control. The umbrella. This shows that those that take shelter of Lord Nityananda's feet are shielded from the incessant rainfall of material miseries, one after the next. You get over the cold, and then you stub your toe, and you get your toe stops swelling, you get a toothache. Your toothache goes away, and you got some bills that come in the mail. There's no end to the material miseries we experience. But by taking shelter of that umbrella of Lord Nityananda, we're protected from these. The cow's hoof. Of course, we know this example is very wonderful. The cow's hoof signifies that those who take shelter of the uninterrupted, with uninterrupted meditation on Lord Nityananda's feet, experience this great ocean of worldly existence to be just like the hoof of a cow. The thunderbolt. This mark reveals that meditation on Nityananda's feet smashes to pieces the mountain of his devotees' karmic reactions due to their past sins. We can think in this way about this thunderbolt and be free from the reaction to so many lifetimes of difficulty. The rose apple. This indicates that this mark on his feet indicates that he is the only worshipable object for those who are the residents of Jambudvip, which is where we are residing, the island of the rose apple. If anybody gets a rose apple, I'd like to see one. The club. This mark is to show that Nityananda's feet are capable of chastising the elephant of sinful lust. Now, we've got these sinful reactions. Okay, they've been destroyed by the thunderbolt. They've been destroyed by the chakra. But what about our lust? We have this desire that's there. So the club of Nityananda will eradicate that, destroy that lusty desire. And then the spear. This mark assures that those who wish to have the miserable bonds of material life cut take shelter of the lotus feet of Nityananda. So we were talking earlier, being bound up so many ways. You know, you can't get undone, all right? Isn't it any time there's a, in the entertainment field, a movie or whatever, and somebody's tied up, somebody has to come along with that, and whoosh, slice all the bonds off, right? So in this way, Nityananda takes the spear and cuts all the ropes that tie us to this world, that bind us all up. The flower. This mark shows that the divine fame of his lotus feet spread everywhere, just like the opening a fragrance of a flower. When the flower opens up, the fragrance just permeates all directions. I've got night blooming jasmine at my house, about 8 bushes of them. And at the right time of year, when those flowers open up, all I have to do is pull into the driveway and roll the window down. It's just like, oh my God, just totally intoxicated. So in this way, this flower on the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda completely permeates with its fragrance all directions. The creeper. This mark symbolizes how intelligent persons, and that's all of us here, intelligent persons hold on to the lotus feet of Nityananda firmly, just as a creeper grasps onto whatever it's ascending. Creeper grows up the side of a tree, or grows up the side of the house. Sometimes you get that vine that grows up the side of the house, you got to pull it off. And when you go to pull it, you got to really pull it, because it's got all these little tentacles that come out and attach itself. And it's really attached. And you got to yank it off. So this creeper represents our really deep attachment to the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. And finally, the plow. The plow symbolizes the ability to uproot the nasty, weed-like things that are in the heart of a devotee. Sometimes we do see that despite our efforts at executing devotional service for however long, some things are there that we want to get rid of. We're not very happy that they're there, that somehow by contact with material energy or impurities in our heart or offenses in our chanting or whatever, these things are there. By remembering this plow on the bottom of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, this plow will uproot those things out of the soil of our heart and allow the fertile seed of devotional life to grow there. So these are 20 of the symbols on the bottom of Lord Nityananda's lotus feet that we can remember. And when remembering them, see, what connection do they have to my devotional life? Okay, I can recite off the 20 symbols. No, but do you remember what impact they have on your devotional life, how they can benefit you? This is what we should strive for. So Nityananda's pastimes are really quite amazing. We're about to, in a few moments, perform the Abhishek for Lord Nityananda. And this was previously done by Nityananda's own desire. I wanted to read about this from the Nityananda Charitamrita. Nityananda had made his appearance in Navadvip, and after being there for some time and engaging some different activities, it mentions that Nityananda, along with his associates and devotees, arrived at the house of Raghava Pandit in Panihati. Who's been to Panihati? Wonderful place. Wonderful, wonderful place. And if you're there during the Panihati festival, the village grows from however big it is to 1 million times bigger than it is. It's just incredible how many bodies can fit in that small village during the Panihati festival. Raghava Pandit was overjoyed to see Nityananda. Nityananda, along with his associates, lived happily in the village of Panihati for some time. He would roar loudly in ecstasy, always overwhelmed with prema, and he would go sometimes into a rapturous trance. When Nityananda desired to dance, three famous singers, who knows who those singers are? The Ghosh Boys. Yes, Govinda, Madhava, and Vasudev, the Ghosh Boys. They were his favorite singers. The most pious amongst them, Madhava Ghosh, was expert in kirtan. There was no better singer in the world. He was even better than our Vishi. I don't know how that's possible. He was known as the singer of Vrindavan, and he was very dear to Nityananda Swarup. As these three brothers, Madhava, Govinda, and Vasudeva, began to sing, the Supreme Lord Nityananda began to dance. When that most powerful Avadhuta Nityananda danced, it seemed like the earth shook with every step. After some time, Nityananda sat down on the throne and ordered all the devotees to perform his Abhishek. He wasn't bashful about this. Some of Nityananda's pastimes show great humility, and some of them show great confidence and pride. Not an arrogant pride, but a very properly placed pride. All right, time to do my Abhishek. All the devotees headed by Raghava Pandit quickly arranged the Abhishek, bringing thousands of pitchers of Ganges water and scenting it with various perfumes. With great satisfaction, they poured the scented water over the head of Lord Nityananda. Everyone chanted, Hari, Hari!
Hari,
on all sides while performing the Abhishek. They all recited suitable mantras, so those of you brahmanas that know suitable mantras glorifying Nityananda, while the Abhishek is going on in a little bit, you can chant those mantras. All of his associates were submerged in an ocean of bliss and sang for his glorification. Those of you that don't know mantras can sing bhajan. After the Abhishek, they put new cloth on him, applied sandalwood paste to his body, and then decorated his broad chest with a beautiful garland of flowers mixed with tulasi. They set a throne decorated with gold before the Lord. Lord Nityananda then sat on that golden throne while Raghavananda held an umbrella over his head, and the devotees began to glorify him, and arose a crying sound from all sides, glorifying him endlessly. Everyone raised their hands and exclaimed, Oh, save us, Nitai! Save us, Nitai! They all went into the rapture of Krishna Prema hearing this. Lord Nityananda, absorbed in his own blissful mood, glanced on everyone and showered them with his prema. Nityananda then ordered Raghava Pandit. Oh, this is a wonderful pastime. He said to Raghava, I desire a garland of Kadamba flowers. Please make me a garland of Kadamba flowers. Raghava Pandit was like, my dear Lord Nityananda, it isn't Kadamba season. I'm sorry, there are no Kadamba flowers. No, but I want a garland of Kadamba flowers. My dear Lord, my apologies. I don't have any control over the seasons. It's not Kadamba flower season. There are no Kadamba flowers. Are you sure? Well, that should have been the cue. But Raghava continued, no, my Lord, I'm positive it's the wrong season. Go to your home and see what you find. Just go and look and see if anything's there. Well, Raghava Pandit, he went to his home, which was just out in the courtyard there, and there was a lemon tree that he had there. It's like Madhava's got lemon trees at his house. And what was on this lemon tree? Kadamba flowers. Not one, not 10, hundreds of Kadamba flowers are manifesting off the lemon tree. Raghava Pandit was amazed. So he collected all the Kadamba flowers, made a garland, and brought the garland before Nityananda. Nityananda said, so, did you find anything? Yes, my Lord, I found Kadamba flowers. Kadamba flowers for your satisfaction. Then Nityananda said, Brothers, do you smell that? He addressed all the devotees like that. And everyone folded their hands and said, no, we smell the wonderful fragrance of the Kadamba flower. And we smell, you know, the flowers we're using for the puja here. No. He said, that is a Dhammanaka flower. I have no idea what a Dhammanaka flower is. Prangovin, you know what a Dhammanaka flower is? We don't have them here in Alatra. Huh? There we go. So, and the fact that it's only available in Puri is interesting here. So, at any rate, he said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come here. You did not see him here, but he was wearing that garland, and that's why the fragrance of that garland is here. And saying this, everyone thought of Lord Chaitanya being there and chanted in great ecstasy and just became overwhelmed with bliss, drenched in the ocean of prema like this. So as Nityananda sat on his golden throne, his associates began to dance in front of him. Now let's remember, Nityananda's intimate associates are all cowherd boys, the Dadasa Gopals, the 12 main cowherd boys and their associates. And they're in the mood of coward boys. They're rambunctious. They're playful. Sometimes they're problematic. So they do some amazing things. They were all dancing in front of him. Someone climbed on a tree. Someone walked out on the leaves of that tree and did not fall. I see any of you try that. Someone roared like a lion. Someone caught the root of that tree and pulled it out of the ground while chanting. Someone went to the forest and collected betel nuts and gathered 5 or 6 trees all together under their arm and brought them back. Such was the immense strength of their love of God. All the symptoms of the love of God had described in the Shastras, such as shedding of tears, being stunned, heavy breathing, perspiring, hair standing in, and so on, were all manifested in the devotees of everyone that was associating with the Lord Nityananda. Anyone Lord Nityananda looked upon would fall unconscious due to their ecstatic prema. They would try to catch hold of Nityananda Sarupa, who was sitting on the golden throne. Nityananda invested his energies in all of his chief associates. They became omniscient. Their words became perfect. They looked as beautiful as Cupid. Whoever they touched with their hands became overwhelmed with love of God. Nityananda lived like this in the village of Panihati for 3 months. For 3 months, all the devotees were in an ecstatic trance. They stopped all bodily activities. They did not eat for 3 months. All they did was continuously chant and dance in bliss. The blissful pastimes of Lord Nityananda Prabhu enjoyed in the village of Panihati will forever be described in the 4 Vedas. So very amazing. The devotees became so overwhelmed They didn't eat for 3 months. So Mukhi, we don't have to cook a feast today. All the devotees are going to be ecstatic of Lord Nityananda. Nobody's going to eat. There we go. Akuti, you can stop there in the kitchen. So the beauty of Lord Nityananda is described here. And one might ask, how beautiful is Lord Nityananda? Might one ask that? Might one ask how beautiful Lord Nityananda is? Ah, did someone ask how beautiful Lord Nityananda is? Well, one might ask that question, and the answer is given by Vrindavan Das Thakur. One day, Lord Nityananda decided to wear ornaments. As soon as he desired this, immediately various kinds of valuable and enchanting ornaments, not only valuable, but enchanting. Enchanting means you look at these ornaments, you're just like, oh my God. Valuable and enchanting ornaments appeared before him, made of silver, gold, and diamonds. Fortunate people brought these ornaments bedecked with jewels and corals. Some also brought fine cloth, necklaces of pearls, which they all gave to Nityananda and offered him their obeisances. Nityananda decorated himself with this jewelry according to his own sweet will. He decorated his two hands with golden bangles, his 10 fingers with golden rings beset with jewels. He decorated his neck with various divine necklaces made of jewels, pearls, and corals. To please Lord Shiva, Nityananda was concerned to please Lord Shiva, he took a string of Rudraksha and a cat's eye with gold and silver and respectively tied them around his neck. He prepared 2 beautiful golden earrings bedecked with pearls and put them in his ears. He decorated his lotus feet with silver ankle bells and put the most attractive rings upon his toes. He dressed himself with various fine cloths of different color, such as white, blue, and yellow. Dressed in this way, he appeared completely enchanting. He wore various garlands of jasmine, Arabian jasmine, and champak flowers, which continuously swung on his broad chest. He applied sandalwood paste to his beautiful limbs. He adorned his head with a turban made of various fine cloths and decorated with different colored flowers. The beauty of his most attractive face defeated the beauty of millions of moons. He always smiled and chanted the name of Hari. In whatever direction Nityananda glanced, his lotus eyes sprinkled showers of Krishna prema. I mentioned earlier we would talk about his stick. He always carried a stick of high quality sculpted iron, which was plated on both ends with gold. This sculpted stick of iron will be a topic of concern to devotees later, as we'll see. He would carry this stick in his hand in a very playful mood, twirling it about just like a cowherd boy. So most of the sannyasis, they would carry dandas made of bamboo, or sometimes they might just carry a single danda. Sometimes they, you know, we see sometimes a devotee might carry some stick made of something else or whatever. But Nityananda here is carrying a rod of sculpted iron. I'd love to know where that sculpted iron rod is. I know where one of the staffs of Tulsi that Nityananda carried are. It's in the temple of Lord Nityananda in Ambika Kalna. I've seen it. I have a piece of it. But that sculpted iron rod, I wonder where that is. That would be nice, darshan. So, this is a description of the amazing beauty of Lord Nityananda. Now, when one sees Nityananda, one might ask, what is the result of seeing such a beautiful form of Nityananda? One might ask that. One might. Oh! Well, Vrindavan Das Thakur gives that answer. Nityananda and his associates visited the houses of all the cowherd boys. All the associates of Nityananda were in the mood of cowherd boys of Vrindavan themselves, decorated with various bracelets, bangles, anklets, rings, garlands, horns, sticks, flutes, ropes, and garlands of kunja. Nityananda, by his own sweet will, enjoyed pastimes with them. simply by seeing the beauty of Lord Nityananda, all the living entities were captivated. Even the atheists would immediately offer prayers to him as soon as they saw him. They at once wanted to offer everything they had to Lord Nityananda. The body of Lord Nityananda is so sweet and most attractive. He generously bestowed mercy on everyone, whether eating, sleeping, or traveling. He did not waste a moment without doing Nam Sankirtan. When Nityananda did Sankirtan and danced in ecstasy, he captivated hundreds of people. Illiterate children pulled big trees out of the ground without difficulty upon chanting with Lord Nityananda. They roared loudly as they uprooted trees. They ran and shouted, "We are coward boys! We are coward boys!" The strength of one child was such that even seven persons together were unable to control that child in his ecstasy. The children roared happily like lions and chanted, "All glories to Nityananda! All glories to Nityananda!" Nityananda Prabhu, the life and soul of everyone, captivated the hearts of even the children. Some children, in such love for Nityananda, ate nothing for a month. No grocery bills. For 1 month, the children ate nothing in love for Nityananda. People were struck by wonder seeing this. No one could understand the amazing beauty of Lord Nityananda. All the men and women in the villages floated in happiness of Krishna Prema by the merciful glance of Nityananda. His merciful look was so intense that everyone forgot themselves in spiritual bliss. By the mercy of Nityananda, anyone and everyone, easily achieved love and devotion that is greatly aspired for by sages and yogis. If a person as big as an elephant does not eat for 3 days, he will become weak and unable to walk. But when a child who is a devotee of Nityananda eats nothing for a month, he acts like a lion and is indeed the manifestation of Nityananda's mercy and energy. Still, by the illusory energy of Lord Chaitanya, no one could understand these facts. Being thus absorbed in love of God, Lord Nityananda enjoyed his pastimes. So, we've heard some of these amazing pastimes of Nityananda, and we haven't even described Nityananda pushing a tree closer so his playmates could jump from one tree to the next. And we haven't even described him swimming in the Ganges with the crocodiles. And we haven't even described his mad pastimes in the house of Sachimata with Mahaprabhu. But still, some of these pastimes might have created a doubt in the mind of some devotees. This is really true. Such was the case with one saintly Brahmana. There was a Brahmana who was a very serious devotee. He was not a, you know, criticizing, fault finder, nonsense type of devotee. He was a very serious devotee. And he was appreciating very much the pastimes of the Lord. He lived in Navadvipa, and he was a classmate of Mahaprabhu. And so seeing the mischievous and uncertain behavior of Nityananda, this Brahmin developed a doubt. Now, he had very firm faith and strong conviction in the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. And he had faith in Nityananda, but he was a little doubtful because of the activities he was seeing. So once he went to the home of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he put the following question before him, in a very humble state of mind, not in a challenging way. "My dear Lord, I would like to ask something from you, if you will allow me to. If you really think me as your servant, then I beg that you please answer the following question for me. I don't understand this Nityananda. This Avadhut is running all about Navadvipa, and I don't understand him. Everyone says he is a sannyasi, but to everyone's surprise, he chooses betel nut and camphor. A sannyasi is not supposed to touch gold and jewels, but this Nityananda decorates his whole body with gold and silver and pearls and jewels. Abandoning the kopan and the saffron cloth, he dresses in very luxurious and fine silken garments. He also put sandalwood paste on his body. And what about that iron stick he carries? The sannyasi is supposed to carry a bamboo rod, and he carries an iron stick. He mingles with the sudras and the lower class persons. A sannyasi should associate with like-minded individuals. I don't find his behavior at all in accordance with the shastras, with the instructions of our teachings. So this doubt has arisen in my heart, my dear Lord. Everyone addresses him as an exalted person, but he doesn't follow any of the rules or regulations that they all follow. My Lord, if you think of me as your servant, then I beg you, please explain to me the truth of Lord Nityananda. Lord Gauranga then said, my dear Brahmana, faults and defects do not affect saintly persons such as Nityananda. And then Lord Chaitanya began to quote many verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, from different Puranas, from Sukadeva Goswami, speaking about the qualities of a saintly person and how they are aloof from material considerations and how they are not bound by ordinary rules and regulations, how they are not under the influence of the controllers of the material world, the ruling personalities, how even individuals like Rudra and Brahma have no control over them. He says, those who thus criticize such an exalted person without knowing their glory suffer miseries life after life from this fault. Even if an exalted person does something improper, what to speak of criticizing him, even if one laughs at him quietly, such a person is doomed. It should be a lesson to us. Srimad Bhagavatam describes all of these truths. One can also hear these truths from the mouth of a bona fide spiritual master. So he continues on in this way. And then he concludes. Yes. Lord Chaitanya concluded, my dear Brahmana, I have thus explained to you the topics found in Srimad Bhagavatam and other scriptures. Don't maintain the slightest doubt about Nityananda Sarup. He is the most exalted personality. Unfortunately, people are unable to understand him. Accept his uncommon activities, then you will surely be delivered. He incarnated simply to deliver fallen souls. He will liberate all living beings. His dealings are above rules and regulations. Who has the power to understand him? Anyone who blasphemes Nityananda without knowing his unfathomable qualities, even if that person achieves Vishnu Bhakti, he is doomed. O Brahmana, go to Navadvipa and explain this truth to everyone. If anyone blasphemes Nityananda in any way, no one will be able to protect that person from Yamaraj's death. One who loves him actually loves me. I am telling you the truth right now. Even if Nityananda marries a Muslim girl or enters into a wine shop, he is still worshipable even by Lord Brahma. That is my verdict. So this is the conclusion of Lord Chaitanya about the supreme position and the importance of avoiding any fault-finding with Nityananda. So we're going to conclude here. We're going to post up here on the screen the Nityananda Dvadasaka, the 12 names of Nityananda. We're going to recite them together in unison. Everybody ready? Nityananda Havadutendur Vasudha Pranavalabha Janava Jivata Pati Krishna Prema Prada Prabhu Padmavati Sutta Sriman Sachinandana Purvaja Bhavon Mato Jagatatra Rakta Gaura Kalevara. Sri Nityananda Prabhu is the embodiment of eternal bliss. He is the moon of all Avadutas and the beloved life breath of Vasudha. Lord Nityananda is the husband enthusing Janavi with life. Nityananda Ram bestows ecstatic love for Krishna, and he is the Lord and Master of all devotees. Sri Nityananda is the dear son of Padmavati, and he is full of splendorous transcendental majesty. Nitai is the older brother of Sakimata's son Nimai. Nityananda Avadhut is maddened in overwhelming ecstatic emotions. Sri Nityananda Prabhu is the savior of the universe. His complexion is golden tinged with red. Sri Nityananda Chandrasya Namadvadashakam Shubham Yahidam Pratyaham Prata Pratyataya Patinara Saklesharo Hito Bhutva Pranuyatsva Manoratam Tunam Chaitanya Devasya Karuna Bhajanam Bhavet. One who recites these 12 auspicious holy names of the moon-like Nityananda Chandra every day between 6 a.m. and 8:30 a.m., or 9:30 if class goes long, will become free from all difficulties and attain his most cherished desires. Very soon, he will receive the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Dev. Sri Nityananda Ram Ki! Hare Krishna. Thank you.